I think we should talk a little bit about when you knew you were going to come home.
Well, it was quite certain. It was on a notice board at the hotel, and this notice was put on there, alphabet order, the names, William in Portugal on such and such a day. In the morning at such time, the buses came along, and off we went. We went off to Scotland, Richard Weir. And there we were for about nearly months waiting. And eventually we got marching orders again, down to the River Clyde, embark on a Stirling Castle ship, and back to Gibraltar. But this is what happened. One morning, when we were moving, ships coming in, which was the gathering of a convoy, because the war was still on. One morning we came up on deck, all the ships are gone. Why? We'd be left behind. Apparently, we got to know later on, apparently the winch that was supposed to lift up the anchor burned. And with one anchor, the Board of Trade would not allow the ship to travel. So, we go down again, and again, and again, and one morning, where are we? High seas. We left in early morning, at night, sorry. And we came back, escorted by a destroyer. We were the only one. Eventually got here to Gibraltar, and the destroyer, off we went.
Tell me what the living conditions were like in Scotland.
Where
were you living in Scotland? In Nissen huts, or...?
No, it was not Nissen huts, it was brick on the top of that.
And how many in each hut?
A whole family.
And it must have been strange suddenly after London, but you...
Absolutely. We were in the wilderness.
Yeah.
In the fields. But when we got back here...
Yeah.
Eventually, life came back to normal almost.
What was it like when you arrived? I mean, you must have been so excited about going home.
To see my brother, the eldest brother, you know.
He stayed here,
and an uncle of mine also stayed here, which they looked after the house.
So describe to me what it was like. Were people all waiting at the dockside?
Oh, yes, families. In fact, I got a picture, and I'll show you in a minute. The army helping us down from the ship. Not the Stirling Castle, but a tender.
And were people crying?
Crying with joy. Not to see each other, the loved ones they left behind for 4 years, because we hadn't seen my brother for 4 years. And it was caressing and cuddling and everything. And it was great to be back. But the war was still on, and shortly after, armistice. But before we finish that, let me tell you what happened. We got here. One day, we're in the pharmacy now, we're in Robert's pharmacy, and a gentleman comes in with his wife. We got talking and this and that and the other. And I don't know how the conversation came up. I was telling him about this. And he said, I was a sailor in that destroyer. And we had two Gibraltarians, also sailors. Vaughan was one of them, and the other one, I can't remember his name. Are they still alive? Yes. And it was through this meeting that I was able to put them in contact.
Not Pepe Vaughan?
Pepe Vaughan.
I talked to him yesterday.
Yeah.
How funny.
Yeah. And there was another one, another Gibraltarian. Anyhow, he said, I was a sailor on that ship. I'm going to send you a photograph, because there was the destroyer dropping depth charges. And I got this photo, which he sent to me.
Wow.
Coincidence?
When you got back to Gibraltar, did your was your house okay?
Oh yes, my brother and my uncle used to live here because they stayed behind. My brother used to work in the RAMC, which was the Army Medical Corps. He was, and my brother and my uncle used to work in the dockyard, so they weren't allowed to go. Essential jobs, you see.
But a lot of people did lose their houses, didn't they?
Well, some lost it. Because some of them also were requisite by the army. Because remember, there were so many army people here. They didn't have sufficient barracks for them. So what they do? Empty house. They billeted them there.
And what was it like? I mean, so now you were what, about 14, 15?
I was 14 when I came back.
Yeah. So did you go back to school?
Well, coming to this, there was a school eventually by the army, but it was sort of more of a, let's say, a nursery to keep you out of the street. And my mother would not allow me to be walking about the street, so she said, you get a job. And I was employed in the Chamber of Commerce here in Gibraltar at 14. Right, I go for my interview with Mr. Lily Ibossi. What have you got? Can you read? Yes. Can you do this? Yes. Yes. Okay. He took me on. This is going to be your job. Every day you go to the different members. I was given a list of members. You go to them and you collect the subscription. And by 4:30, whatever you collect, it's got to be in the bank. Okay? All right, sir. And I did used to them. Not a penny was ever missing. Thanks God. Anyhow, I did 16 years in the Chamber of Commerce until the opportunity of going to England to learn chiropody came along. So one morning I went, took some papers for signature, and I said, Mr. Imossi, I have something to communicate to you. Okay, so, yes, what's the trouble? Mr. Lilly, I've come across the opportunity of going to England to study chiropody, and I want to tell you that I have to leave the chamber. I will never, never, ever stand in the way of progress. Congratulations. From here, you go to the different directors, which were 12 of them, and you will get a letter of recommendation from them. And he phoned up each and every one. And I got a letter. And I got one from him also. Oh, when I saw that, my father saw that. Honest young man.
Well, you were. Very full, honest.
Full of praise, you know, my yes. Mother back tears. Oh. Anyhow, I went off to England, I did my course.
Why chiropody? How did
because
that...
Because I always used to like to have been a surgeon. Right? Because of the war interruption. I remember what brought the idea of that is when I used to see my mother opening up a chicken, pulling out the inside. What's that? This is the liver. This is the heart. And
so
that gave me the interest.
Yeah.
And that's why I wanted to be a surgeon. But of course, the war came along and spoiled everything for me. And I couldn't. And in those days, it was very, very difficult to go to England to study. Costly. Later on, yes, the opportunity if school would send you. And that was different. In those days, they were very bad. And so, this is what I did. I was sent off to UK.
Just before we go to the UK again, let's just talk a little bit more about Gibraltar. So, you didn't go back to school. So what things, I mean, was the infrastructure sort of destroyed after the war? Did they have to, I mean, were there hospitals and services?
Oh, yes, the hospital was still here. Still here, yes, St. Bernard's.
And, I mean, was there a big military presence?
Yes.
I mean, so if it was the war now and I went, or just after the war, Main Street would be full of people in uniform.
Yeah, in uniform, yes. Yeah. And not accompanied by their families. It was later on when the families were allowed to come with them, like the RAF.
And a lot of bad behaviour?
No, except at night when they used to drink more than one, they used to fight amongst themselves. But nothing really to speak.
And what was the relationship like between the military and the Gibraltarians?
Oh, right. Quite good. Yeah.
And what about the relationship between the sort of British and the Gibraltarians, the sort of governor and the officials?
No, they were all right also, yes.
Right.
A mutual respect, you know.
And the other thing I wanted to ask, which is just only because I've only just understood this, because I've only been in Gibraltar 2 days,
yeah.
And I'd never been before, and I realised when I was taken all round yesterday that all this bit of land was reclaimed. So where the balustrade is used to be the sea.
Yeah.
So what was it like when, you know, when it must have been so, it looks so different, you know, when this new bit of Gibraltar came out of the sea? I mean, tell me a little bit about it. I think it's really interesting.
Where the buildings that you see at the coast there, all that used to be taken up by destroyers and Ark Royal and ships like that. And the sea was huge. And it's now, where we've been able to go over into the sea, taking their ground.
So what was it like when that was being built?
All right.
Did it go on forever? It must have taken ages.
No, no, it was done quite quickly.
Because the first time at night I was here, on Monday night, I was walking along and I couldn't understand why there were all these benches looking over a car park.
Yeah.
And then I realise, you know.
Well, that used to be water at one time.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's the boulevard.
Amazing. So I think we've nearly finished, really. Is there any other stories you want to tell me?
No, I can't
think
of any more.
You've been such a great interviewer.
No. Yeah.
Can I just ask you one last question?
Certainly.
I just wanted to ask you really about how, when you feel about your sort of cultural identity, what do you think you are? Do you feel yourself Gibraltarian, British? What do you think?
But, my inner side is British. It's Britishness, Gibraltar. British, Gibraltarian. I am English. Listen, the blood that runs in there is English. It's Irish and Scottish. I couldn't be more English. It's a peppery mixture, but it's there.
Thank you so much.
My
That's
pleasure.
Just been really brilliant.
My pleasure.
Really fantastic.
Yeah.